Right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here addressing characteristics that are associated with the principle of sin pride, that which comes from this sinful trend of Adam. Roman numeral 5, picking back up here, point Q, where we left off, pride promotes contention. Be contentious. Along with strife, etc., as we've seen already, division. Proverbs 13:10. Through presumption comes nothing but strife. To presume is to exercise arrogance over another without the fact, characterizing the pride in one's judgment, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Proverbs 28:25. Some of these pride, arrogance, we see the parallel between them. An arrogant man stirs up strife. To be arrogant recognizes one has pride in some counterpart of ideology or thing, person, that one considers to be superior, supreme. These types of people tend to stir the pot, create strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Again, the concept of true humility is there, to faith rest, to put things in God's hands. Simply live your Christian life, maintaining its advancement as simple as possible. That's the way I approach it. So our sin pride is energy of the flesh. That means it's temporal and fleeting. Whatever one has pride in, understand when it's sin pride, then it's not anything that you're going to take with you into your phase 3 after this life. Psalm 90 verse 10. Pride in life in general, that which we seek to attain to and accomplish. Understand it's temporal, it's fleeting. For as for the days of our life, this is a prayer of Moses. He lived to be 120. But as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. By then, this is the normal lifespan of the human race. Or if due to strength, God gives you a little physical zest to carry on by 80 years. You might designate those years as portraying a generation of life in that respect. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. All that you attain, sought after, etc., comes at a price. And all of it is open to damage and destruction, removal. put $10 million in a new home on the Ivory Coast and watch it get wiped out with the next hurricane, you know, all kinds of stuff. New car, and somebody keys you all the way down from the front to the back. All these things, they're susceptible to damage and destruction. Obviously, it pays to pray in regards to these things. So life in and of itself that is pursued strictly under the energy of the flesh without the approval of God under divine good, redeeming the time, is nothing less than that which will be left behind at the very best of his existence and being your pride. Really, you know, things that you think about, what you would brag before Jesus Christ about. Well, look, Jesus, I attained to this status. I accomplished this in regards to my life. Big deal. There's those who are going to say, did I not do all these things in your name? And he's going to say, get away from me. I do not know you. See, all these things that people put so much emphasis on in regards to that which is of extreme value before God. Obviously, we're putting it in the spiritual perspective, in the human perspective, is most often in contrast to one another. Now, what he's going to evaluate in regards to each and every one of us is our attitude towards the truth of Bible doctrine and our willingness to apply it, beginning with the salvation adjustment to justice of God, and then through the maturity adjustment to justice of God with rebound. See, that's how he's going to evaluate. That's how he's going to critique. It won't make a difference whether you're a trained engineer, a ditch digger, or what in life. It just doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference, did you do God's directive will? See, did you follow his geographical will? Or did you run out under the energy of the flesh? And wouldn't give God the time of day. You violated Hebrews 10:25 in regards to your consistency of pursuit of the energy of the flesh. See, these are things that believers have to come to grips with and recognize. You know, God doesn't care whether you own a Corvette or not. He just really doesn't care. Even though I thank him for the fact that maybe you can own one. But, you know, I recognize that. All those things that you think you want and need in life and you pursue, and God tests you with him anyway. You know, you never know. So sin pride is energy of the flesh, temporal and fleeting. Their pride is but labor and sorrow. Blow out a Bible class so they can go get them a degree somewhere. Because a college around where you can maintain your NPR is just not good enough. Their pride is nothing but labor and sorrow. See, how much SG3 is that going to get them in phase 3 if they're a believer? So as following that point, dishonor and destruction ultimately follows pride. Obviously, the worst case scenario is sin unto death. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. God loves to abase the proud. See, exalt the humble and abase the proud. You let God exalt you. You let God establish you, promote you. Just do your job as unto the Lord. And again, we're getting ready to watch a positive believer that did just that in his life, And God promoted him and blessed him immensely. And people were blessed by association around him. Obviously, the degree, as it might be, is going to be different among individuals. But the balance of the principle still remains the same. Joseph is going to be in a position where he can do nothing. He's a slave. He's a slave, man. Oh, wow, that's bad. That's just so bad to be a slave. That is the biggest blessing that Israel could have at that point in time in their history. Because he will provide the living grace for his family to continue to exist on and fulfill prophecy in that regards. As well as becoming the second most powerful person that walking on this planet, humanly speaking, in politics. You know, he couldn't do nothing. It takes doctrinal integrity. With doctrinal integrity, then you get the other integrities that are designed to give you a good reputation in life. You do your work unto the Lord. You stay in fellowship. You don't get wrapped up in all the other SCA agendas around you, see, at school, etc. And God will bless your efforts. And the proper recognition will come at their proper time. But for those who don't want to come with that, then you're going to be looked at as the know-it-all, and dishonor will come about as tests that demands the principle of faith, rest, etc. You fall apart and everybody else around you notices it. But with the humble is wisdom. To be truly humble is to submit yourself to the plan of God. People may have academic intellect, but that does not hold a candle to doctrinal wisdom in regards to one's whole perception of life, capacity of life, have the greatest blessing and associations in life. All these things. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Pride and arrogance seem as the compatible sisters that they are. Look what I'm doing, Mommy, how great I am, and flat. They're right on their face, you know. God has a way of tripping people up in ways that they may not even imagine. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low. The great sports people of the world, they had their moment of glory. And you look at the rest of their lives, they're physically wrecks. See, I knew a guy that went to Bible class with, he played college football. And at the ripe old age, probably in his late 20s, it took him an hour to get out of bed from his joints and stuff, just how he'd wrecked his health in that regard. Yeah. You want to be fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee and have your brain messed up the rest of your life. You know? All these things. And people, glorify this stuff. I'm not against sports. But I'm just saying, some people it happens to, some people it doesn't. Let everybody answer for their own devices, I guess. 29:23, man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. I'm too good for this. See, that's too menial for me to apply. Well, second most powerful person in Egypt on the earth was a slave. And it was just too menial for him to apply. He could have rebelled. He could have tried to escape. You know, all in the name of freedom. No, what he did is he hung in there and he trusted God. He had the doctrine. See, and the doctrine was his dream, obviously. T, pride finds expression in pseudo-godliness. To maintain a religious appearance, a pseudo-godliness. You're going through the motions. Like we say, you give God lip service, but yet on the other end of the coin, your heart is far from God. 2 Corinthians 5:12. Paul, we read this verse earlier, and another point. We are not again committing ourselves to you, even though he has every right, and he does, defend the faith in his ministry in that respect against the attacks that came in his direction. And the exhortations are designed to give ammunition to the saints to protect them. We are not again committing ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to have sanctified pride to boast of us. That he was able to give them the sound doctrine so that they could be adjusted in the plan of God and maximized in regards to their SG3 and eternal life niche. That you may have an answer or a response for those who boast or take pride in appearance and not in heart. Those people who like to flaunt their religious positions, see, dress up in all kinds of different kinds of garb, things of that nature. We're not in the age of Israel. You don't have a priestly garment you're supposed to wear. In regards to teaching doctrine. But anyway. So pseudo-godliness exemplifies pride. Doesn't mean that you dress like a bum. You dress according to the occasion. It's modest if you're a woman. Otherwise, he can be relaxed, but yet, you know, shouldn't be in cutoffs and muscle shirts and all this other kind of crazy stuff. You don't need that in class. Who you try to impress? You don't impress me. Now, if Samson was resurrected, I'd be impressed. He could show up in a muscle shirt, and I wouldn't say a damn thing. Pride is the antithesis, the opposite, to righteous fear. To not have a true fear of God is to engage in a form of pride. Romans 11:20. Here in the context of being a member of the church and our dispensational privilege and endowment that God has given us for a period of some 2,000 years, it's all under grace, and we are not to find ourselves to be prideful in regards to the Jews otherwise and their place in the plan of God. To be condescending in that respect. You will say then, verse 19, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. regards the church's place in the dispensational history of God's plan. 20, quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand literally only by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. That as a dispensational administrator of God's plan, that you too can get under negative volition if you let yourself go that direction. You too can let the spiritual priorities slide down the tubes. We are to work out our Christian life in righteous fear, with much trembling and fear before God. That we do it right. We stay with the straight and narrow. We don't find ourselves blipping off, twisting off in regards to doctrine in and of itself in our lives. So we recognize the grace that we're here under. We don't get the big head that somehow this makes us special. No, what we are is positive as members of the human race during this period of time and being incorporated into church and married to Christ in that vein. See, there are racial Jews who are believers. You got the apostles that will have their particular places in the New Jerusalem recognition for that. So, you know, through the Jews, we get our salvation. So, obviously, again, the doctrine brings about the balance regarding your thinking of these things. Be selfishness complements pride. To be self-centered, to be selfish, unwilling to apply towards others, take others in consideration, etc. Philippians 2:3. That we adorn our pride with that type of SE activity. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. See, all that colors pride. That each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Again, we're in the boat together. The camaraderie is not only expected, but commanded of us in our interaction with one another. To recognize your brother and sister in Christ, to have the love and desire for them, to attain to the prize, etc., and be willing to sacrifice as necessary as God might call upon you, to comfort and support in that vein. The mature believer, God's got my back covered, no matter what people may do otherwise. See? Again, it doesn't mean you lay down and roll over and let people tramp all over you and all this other stuff. You know, that's the opposite end of the coin. But to have the proper attitude towards one another, you know, that's one of the probably the principles that I've kind of kept and tried to keep before us. That, you know, as a pastor, yeah, I recognize my position of authority, but I'm just a believer, just like you, trying to get the prize. See. I've seen that in churches where pastors are put on pedestals. That's wrong. And that's not what you do. I consider you more important than that. See, what I may want is not the issue. It's what God wants for us. First Timothy, if it benefits me, well, I'm not going to argue with it. First Timothy 6:17 and 18. In regards to those with wealth, instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be conceited, but find their pride in their wealth, which gives them additional freedoms in life to do things, etc., etc. or to fix our hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, verse 18, to be rich in good works, to be eager to give, that's generous, rather than being conceited and selfish, and generous. Eager to give and generous, see. To apply towards the body. That comes with your spiritual matriculation and understanding your responsibilities before God and applying doctrine in your life. Pride is rampant in the last days. Duh. If this one principle alone almost basically verifies that we're in the last days just by the society and the world and what it promotes in terms of pride. See. 2 Timothy 3:4. Treacherous, reckless, conceited in the perilous times that we are in the midst of today. People around us. Conceited looks at their self-centeredness of pride. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Pride describes the spiritual fool, the spiritual idiot. I think I'm rude by calling people spiritual idiots that fit the shoe fits. We all know about the foo bird. Maybe you haven't heard that joke. Okay. Proverbs 14:16. Wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. One who employs wisdom, the truth of doctrine, and fellowship in critiquing and discerning in regards to others around them in situations. But a fool is arrogant, obviously following their sacred cows in pride and careless. Often make themselves targets for others around them. Needlessly. So why it self-deceives? Obadiah, we don't get to look at that book too often. 1:3. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place. You say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? The conceited types who operate under pride, as if they're, you know, often above the law, above the normal catastrophes of life. They'll build their extravagant silo missiles, you know, to escape the big war, like that's going to do them a lot of good. You know, whatever. God, again, loves to abase the proud. Don't fall into that trap. Z, it promotes hardening of the heart. Hardening of the heart. Daniel 5:20. in regards to Nebuchadnezzar, when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly. He was disposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. So his arrogance was his pride and his power and position as a world-class ruler, as we would say. And one becomes stubborn in their mindset that this is the way it is. And sometimes God has to come in for positive volition on behalf of positive volition and break them. All right, Roman numeral 6. Moving on here. God's posture towards pride. If you haven't figured it out yet, we'll explain it to you. A, he will always ultimately bring judgment upon the proud. The ultimate consequences always is judgment with respect to pride. Psalm 94:2. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render recompense to the proud. All those who support the New World Order, one world religious, political system, socialism, all those things, anti-doctrine. Ultimately, it's going to come back and bite them in you know what. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will tear down the house of the pride, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The house of pride and widow shows you a contrast between those who have means to construct, etc., live that more or less lavish lifestyle versus one such a widow these times who was dependent upon others often for her livelihood. It wasn't like today where everything was set up to split up the husband and wife in regards to their responsibilities, and both parents or both spouses have to work all the time just to put food on the table sometimes. Thank your women livers for that. So the widow, obviously the church is commanded to take care of those who are faithful widows that are part of their assembly if they need living grace. But God ultimately will exalt those who are otherwise positive, no matter what they may not have had in time. B, he will abase the proud, removing that which sponsors the pride and humble them. Psalm 18:27. For you do save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you do abase. To lower, to abase means to lower. Cut their feet out from underneath them, we might say. Isaiah 2:11. Proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For those living in the period of Daniel's 70th week, obviously, is partly in view. Verse 12, for the Lord of armies will have a day of reckoning, verse 12, against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. Isaiah 5:15. So the common man will be humbled, and the man of importance abased. So it doesn't make any difference what economic status one may have. Pride exists on all levels. The eyes of the proud will also will be abased. Isaiah 13:11. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. That's a Babylonian prophetic chapter, by the way, that we looked at when we did the doctrine. So, people will get what they deserve by God. See, he brings national discipline on nations that promote pride. We touched on this earlier. This is his response, his action towards those who want to embrace pride in their life at these levels, obviously. We all are guilty of pride in some form or fashion, but the adjusted believer recognizes it, rebounds it. Romans 26:19, I will break down your pride of power. We read that earlier, okay? D, so national pride brings about the cycles of discipline. The more proud a nation becomes, the more you can probably expect God's reaction in a negative way. So D, along those lines, he destroys and disperses proud nations. He has throughout history. He establishes nations. Luke 1:51. He has done mighty works with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. In regards to God, Jesus Christ being the emphasis there. Verse 52, has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalted those who were humbled. So you probably had that verse, 51 and 52. Pride is tantamount to grieving the Holy Spirit. You're out of fellowship. Grieving the Holy Spirit is language of accommodation. God is not literally crying and wringing his hands over your sins in the life. But it is displeasurable to God in regards to his righteousness when one operates out of fellowship. And being running under pride, energy of the flesh in that regards, places the Holy Spirit at best second in your life. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Compare Jeremiah 13:17. But if you'll not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret for such pride. If you don't listen to doctrine, giving glory to God, etc. That emulates grieving God the Holy Spirit as language of accommodation is attributed to God. God's not crying. And my eyes will bitterly weep and flow down with tears because the flock of the Lord has been taken captive. You're captive one way or the other. You give in to your sin nature, human viewpoint, you're captive to that. And you do so, you grieve God the Holy Spirit. F, he is opposed to the proud. Not only is it displeasurable to him, but you put yourself in opposition to him. You have set up a wall, so to speak, for God to respond to you in a favorable way and are blessing you. Proverbs 3:34. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. Scoffer being one who holds their intellect and ideology and principles as their counterpart pride over the truth of doctrine. God will not be mocked. Eventually, he will deal with these types of people. James 4:6. He gives a greater grace, therefore it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So Roman numeral 7, the prescription to pride is humility under grace, which both James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5 brought out. Being in fellowship, overruling your sin nature, and faith resting and trusting God, and doing all those other things that are antithesis to pride. So conclusion, Roman numeral 8, pride is the satanic substitute for capacity for life. The example, such as pride in education, one's profession, appearance, acquisitions, abilities, relationships. We find our happiness, we build our happiness in these things, see. Rather than finding true happiness in the truth of Bible doctrine in our life. And again, it doesn't mean we don't appreciate these things. And these things are ultimately necessary in many cases. But Satan's role is to use these things as a distraction to feed negative volition and sin nature, omitting Bible doctrine and God's plan in one's life. You think your SCA will always try to convince you that something else will make you happy in life apart from doctrine. Well, you run with that, you'll never know true happiness. You've abandoned it. It's just ingrained in our society, a part of the evil pride that has been pushed down our throats as a society and as a nation. Now you've got to have things to be happy. See? It's the who has the most toys wins mentality, see. B is a category of reversionism. To run unabated under your pride. Obviously, if it's taking you out of Bible class, your pride. Automatic reversionism. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before stumbling. We read that earlier. Romans 1:30. I'll reread some of these verses. It just tells you that I can't remember longer than an hour, basically. The unbeliever who runs consistently in reversionism, pride is boastful, is part of their MO. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, schemers of evil, disobedient parents, etc. in that list. See, pride always glorifies human good, energy of the flesh. Examples, humanitarianism. World peace. Right. We have world peace under men that have STAs and are negative to doctrine. Liberal socialism. Intellectualism, etc. The list goes on, just like the beat. D, pride is a blockade to embracing the truth of Bible doctrine. You don't need to submit yourself and humble yourself in the royal chain of command under a justice pastor teacher to figure things out in life. Do it on your own. Be an island to yourself. You don't need to be part of local assembly. I speak as if insane. E, it interferes in the expression of positive volition. Psalms 10:4. The wickedness and the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. So, they are antithesis to positive volition. Pride is. F, one's pride in time will be their shame in eternity. Hosea 4:7. The more they multiply, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. When they reach their phase 3 level of existence, Philippians 3:19. For many walk, verse 18, Paul speaking of whom I often told you, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. These include believers who have taken issue in regard to sound doctrine or life, and they are fighting against the truth in that capacity. Whose end is destruction, that's the ultimate sin unto death, is their consequence, verse 19. Whose God is their appetite, their STA lust, is what drives them, and whose glory is in their shame. What they seek to achieve in their agenda otherwise in life at the Bema seat will be nothing but shame. Who set their minds on earthly things. And 1 John 2:28. Tells us not everybody at the Bema seat is going to be doing backflips and celebrating. Now, little children, abide in Him. That is the filling of the Holy Spirit language that John uses to picture taking up residence with respect to God leading, guiding, directing you in your life. That makes it possible for Christ to be in you then, as it is in the gospel. So that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. Which, unfortunately, that's where most believers' reaction will be in resurrection body. Advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Believers living in our time in church age history, Laodicean period, verse 18, that you may become rich in white garments, that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Their nakedness is their absence of divine good production. Even though they do. They're constantly doing something. In the name of Jesus, blind the banner. And the eyes salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. So, G, pride in self equals spiritual bankruptcy. Revelation 16:15. Behold, the words of Christ, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake spiritually, keeps his garments, clothing, looks at application of the doctrine, is symbolic of that in the scripture. Unless he walk about naked and men see his shame. They've exposed themselves spiritually for what they are. See. H, even Bible doctrine without true love, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit plus application of doctrine, is a form of pride. In other words, it's the combination. It's got to be Bible doctrine and the filling of God the Holy Spirit that makes it acceptable in action with honor. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, those who call themselves Christian or religious and go to church, they go to church, they comply to Hebrews 10:25, but if they're not in fellowship, it's nothing more than energy of the flesh. It's action without honor. See? Understand that. 1 Corinthians 8:1. We'll wrap this up today. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that all knowledge, that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love, that's divine love, edifies. Being in fellowship. Again, language that pictures God's love that is sponsored by His righteousness. So, I therefore promote self-righteousness. Luke 18:11-12. Pharisee, the religious guru of Jesus' time, I fast twice a week. This is what he's saying. I pay tithes all that I of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Verse 11. It shows that Pharisee stood, was praying thus to himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people." And he lists off their sin activities, even though he's guilty of his own self-righteousness and his own sins. And then finally, J, pride is a failure to faith rest and let God provide the exaltation or sanctified pride, as it would be in that case. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. 7, casting all of your anxiety, sin, fear, often promotes pride, fearful that you're not going to attain to or get or acquire that which you so desire, which can be legitimate, but often is illegitimate. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light these things. In Jesus' name, amen.